If you have your Bibles, I want to take your attention to 2 Samuel chapter 22. 2 Samuel chapter 22. I had the opportunity last summer to write a series of devotionals concerning the life of Saul, David. And so as I was doing a character study, I do a lot of those. I love doing character studies. But one of my favorite heroes is David, Joseph being the first one. But David, I like to talk about research. And I think many times we overlook God has a mission. And as we look at the life of people, we look at what we call stories in the Bible, sometimes we overlook the mission of God. We see the stories, we see the events, we see history. But the question is, do we see God's ultimate purpose? You see, the mission of God is that God would reach every tongue, every nation, every language. With what? His grace, amen. The grace of God to be revealed, reveal himself to every language. One of the things I begin to do is study, as I've studied these characters, and I was going through the book of Samuel, I begin to look at Solomon also. One of the things I begin to learn is, God has a concern for the strangers. You stop and think about that. As we look in the book of Exodus, as you look through the book of Revelation, you're going to see God, in spite of taking a people, selecting a nation, establishing a church, you know what his still goal is? To reach the nations. That grace might reveal unto all men. And so I looked at the prayers, but I want to take a look tonight at a psalm that David wrote. In chapter 22, David therefore, verse 1, departed thence. I'm sorry, 2 Samuel, I'm in 1st. There we go. And David spoke unto the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord had delivered him out of the hand of all his enemies and out of the hand of Saul. If you look carefully, you're going to find this comparison in Psalm 18. So I want you to hold your fingers, 2 Samuel 22, turn over to Psalm 18. Almost word for word. Little phrases here and there, a little different. You're going to find that God uses this psalm as David writes about his experience. And he gives a narration of the work of God. The presence of God and the protection of God. As he goes through that psalm. But then by the time you reach the end of the psalm, that's what I'm going to focus on. Look in verse 49 of Psalm 18. At the same time, look at Psalm 22, verse 50. Verse 49 in Psalm 18. Therefore will I give thanks unto thee, O Lord among the heathen, sing praises unto thy name. Great deliverance giveth he to his king, and showeth mercy to his anointed, to David, and to his seed forevermore. Let's pray. Our Father, I need your help tonight for clarity of thought and of speech, but most importantly, that your name might be magnified. I thank you for your people that assemble. Lift them up, encourage them. Perhaps there's one soul here today that does not know the grace of God. I pray, dear Lord, your spirit would touch them. Draw them, and Lord, show them the way of life. And Lord, I pray everything we do and say bring honor and glory to the name of Jesus. For his precious name I pray. Amen. Going back to 2 Samuel. When God begins to consider about the heathen, you know what he does? In the very first covenant we find with Abraham. What does God tell him in chapter 12 of Genesis? I will make thee a blessing. And thou shalt be a blessing to all. To every person. in the world. Why? Even God was selecting one man. He says, I want you to be a blessing to others. That's why I'm choosing you. Tonight we have been chosen. Tonight we have been elected. Tonight we have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Tonight we have been blessed. Tonight you sit in a comfortable place with no threat of somebody walking in closing these doors. Freedom that very few countries have. Freedom that very few churches have. I was invited to preach in Nepal. I went up to Manipur one time for a wedding. Met a preacher there. He said, Brother, why don't you travel with me to Nepal? I said, Brother, God didn't call me to Nepal yet. When God calls me, I'll go. He said, I was over in China just 3 weeks ago. He said, I had a great time. I got to go into the underground church. I said, that's amazing. Now, this is an Indian native. He said, the problem is there are many places we cannot go because the government is following me, an outsider. As soon as I go, I'm black out of the country. But now they have identified those pastors, those congregations. Why? They've just been following me. Folks, you never take for granted the freedom that you have. Be thankful for the opportunity. In spite of the rain, we got a dry place, amen? In spite of the cold, we got a warm place. In spite of opposition and the world going helter-skelter, we have a calm from the Holy Spirit of God. Our God is so good. And I want to take a look at just what God does with David. Let's step back just a couple chapters. In chapter 20, David says, I will give thanks, O Lord, among the heathen. One of the most amazing songs ever written by David is recorded here in this 22nd chapter. David had serious issues. As he was trying to establish his throne, the beginning of his kingship, some of the people had rebelled against his kingdom. In chapter 20, a man says, I want to be king. And he proclaims himself king. David almost has to run for his life. But you know what happens? As that man then goes, David's army man goes after him. His great man goes into a city by the name of Abel. And as they go into that city, a wise woman speaks, yells over the wall. He says, not everyone has rebelled. Not everyone has turned against the king. Now praise God for that. We look at the world, we think everybody's gone against us, right? There's a few people out there who think the whole world's bad. We're the only ones standing true. Elijah had that mentality, didn't he? But you know what can I say tonight? As we've traveled across this country, there are some good churches. Now I know there's very few churches like this. I'll be very honest with you. My wife and I have talked about that many times. If I've had preachers ask me across this country, hey, if you could name 5 churches that truly stand like you stand, where you preach. And you know what? I have to give Mount Zion Baptist Church one of the top ones. It's very true. Don't take it for granted, folks. Don't take it for granted. David had people against him. But as he's trying to establish his kingdom, this woman yells and says, we're not against you. Job says, hey, throw down that man, we'll leave the city alone. And the words of a wise woman saved a whole city, amen? I got a question, how many wise women do we have today that would save a city? Save a whole city. You see, I'm going to say some things that are not politically correct, okay? Please forgive me. But you know what, I'm seeing a lot of people on social network that don't care about saving their own homes. We're involved in a lot of things. But here this woman says, we're not against you. Look at chapter 21. A 3-year famine ravages the land. Why? Because Saul attacked the Gibeonites, a people that were promised protection. Can I say something? When you make a promise, you better keep it, amen? Not according to convenience, not according to money, not according to finance, not according to your mood or your whim. When we make a promise before God, you better keep it. Maybe you made a faith promise, better keep it, amen? Maybe you made a promise to your wife or your children, better keep it. Saul violated a promise. Sin has to be atoned, folks. Ecclesiastes tells us that very much. When thou makest a vow, be careful that thou keepest. But you know what? All because Saul had violated a promise to the giving us, God requires justice, Saul lost his grandchildren. Now stop and think about this. David's best friend, Jonathan, right? He had to see his best friend's kids die. Think about Michael a minute. Saul had taken, given him to his wife. Then at the end, he gave him to somebody else. Remember that? David loved her. But you know what happened? She lost all her children. Can you imagine how David's feeling about now? Hard days to see your best friends, nephews all be hung. Even harder to see your first wife's sons to be killed. Sorrow upon sorrow begins to build in David's life. He may be ready to quit. You know, as we face sickness, we face trials, we begin to say, oh, is it worth it all? Maybe he's searching for another job about now, right? I've had enough of this kingdom. Find me something else to do. When you get down towards the end of chapter 21, what happens? Four giants were also slain that defied David and his God. In times of weakness, can I say something? Beware of the giants. Mm-hmm. Even that chapter says David was weary. He was getting tired of it all. The giants came in his life. It's the giants that you don't want to deal with, that you say that are not important. You say it's not going to bother you. You say it's not going to affect your family. They're going to come back to haunt you when you are weary. Mm-hmm. Beware of the giants. We see also that David's mighty men did not criticize him in that time. That challenged me a lot. In spite of David being weary, in spite of David wanting to give up, his men stepped forward and said, David, we'll do it. Amen? He says, I'm going to take care of it. He helped him out. And four giants were killed. They encouraged him to rest. They encouraged him to stand. They stood up to defend him against all the giants. I have a question, Christian. Do we criticize your pastor, your boss, your supervisor, your Sunday school teacher, your parents, or those who have a leadership and authority over you? They get tired. David had men that stood up for him, that fought for him, told him, hey, we got this hand. We've got to handle it. We are to pray for them. They suffered for him. Let's have the same vigilance. Let's have the same boldness. Let's be brave. Why? Remember, God has a plan. As we open into chapter 22 then, we see this psalm that David writes. Ready to quit? Yes. Suffering? Yes. Hurting? Yes. Broken? Yes. His own family in a shambles. But he writes one of the greatest psalms. He says, I will call, let's look at verse 3. The Lord of my rock, the God of my rock, in him will I trust. He is my shield, the horn of my salvation, my high tower, my refuge, my savior. Thou savest me from violence. What does David do? He personalizes God. Can I tell you something, church? When we personalize God, you know what? It's not just a hymn anymore. It's a song that lifts the soul. When we personalize God, it's not just a visitation program. It's a ministry. When we personalize God, guess what? It's not a matter of dress standards. It's a matter of holiness. Why? David took that in spite of all the problems, and he personalized his God and says, "My God, my God. He will stand with me. He's my rock. He's my everything I need." Look at verse 4. 2 Samuel 22, verse 4. "I will call on the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies." David makes the determination, "I will call on God. I will call on God." You see, it's not a pastime. It's not a filler. It's not, well, the missionaries need prayer. It's not a matter, well, we got prayer meeting on Wednesday night. No. He says, "I will call on God." Why? He is my everything. Prayer becomes meaningful. It becomes real. And I tell our students, and we counsel a lot. One of the things we've been dealing with, just before I came over here, I was dealing with the topic of prayer. I said, you know, prayer has to be a lifestyle. It can't be a filler. It can't be just something we do, get up in the morning, do our duty. It must be a lifestyle. David made it a lifestyle. Now what's he say? Verse 7. "In my distress I called upon the Lord, cried to my God. He did hear my voice out of his temple, and my cry did enter into his ears." You see that hope? You see that? My cry entered into his ears. Christian, how is your prayer going to heaven? Has it reached heaven? Or has it reached just the ceiling falling back on your head? How many have had that feeling? Yeah. You know what I'm talking about? We get to pray and all of a sudden we fall asleep and we wonder why. Or we get to pray and it just sounds like heaven's just brass. David said, "I know my prayers." And David tells us very clearly in Psalm 66, "The Lord will not regard my prayer. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me." David knew what the answer was. Christian, do we know the answer to power in our life? Do we know the answer to peace in our family? Do we know the answer to the preaching being powerful? It has to be prayer. It has to be prayer, nothing else. Yes, as we read Psalm 18 becomes a triumphant song. A powerful gift of praise. Wonderful words of remembrance. But let's turn over now to verse 49. 2 Samuel 22. As he finishes this psalm, he begins with using a bunch of words, talking about the stranger. Verse 44, "Thou hast also delivered me from the strivings of my people. Thou hast kept me to be head of the heathen. A people which I knew not shall serve me. Strangers shall submit themselves unto me. As soon as they hear, they shall be obedient unto me. Strangers shall fade away, and they shall be afraid out of their close places." What's he talking about? Who is the stranger? We know who that stranger is, right? Those people who are not Israelites. The Gentile people, as the Jews consider them dogs, right? The nobodies. The outcasts. And yet, as he writes this psalm, he's recognizing that the strangers are going to submit themselves to God. I got a question. How are the strangers going to submit themselves to God who rebel against God? I read Psalms and I find out the stranger is going to praise God. Did you know that? I read Acts chapter 8 and all of a sudden I find the answer to Solomon's prayer in the temple. He says, "When a stranger shall come to this place and pray, Lord, will you hear him?" Remember that prayer? And I found out in Acts chapter 9, or chapter 8, sorry, Ethiopian eunuch comes in to pray. Is he not a stranger? Did God hear him? Did God send Philip to share the gospel? You see, God's concerned about the stranger. God says, I want to bless the stranger in you, Abraham. God says, I'm going to get my message through the prophets to the strangers. All the prophets wrote about it. The petition of thanksgiving by David, the Psalms of Israel, the prayer of Solomon, all point to the strangers. My question is tonight, who are we? Are we God's chosen people? Are we Israel? No. I do not believe in replacement theology. I believe God has got His people selected for all eternity. They're going to be His people whether Trump likes it, whether UN likes it, or you like it. Just think about that for a minute. God never changes His plans. He keeps His covenant. He's a covenant-keeping God. He never changes, Book of Malachi tells me. But in Micah chapter 7, He tells me also that God is concerned for these people. He will have mercy upon them. If you read the book of Haggai, you're going to find out in chapter 1, verse 5, God says, I want to do a work among the heathen. That if I were to tell you about it, you wouldn't even believe me. China tonight, whether you believe it or not, has the most independent churches in the world. Suffering? Yes. Afghanistan has the fastest growing churches in the world tonight. The Philippines, Cambodia, North Korea are now sending missionaries to America. Yet in America, we're closing 4,000 churches every year. For every missionary, 17 of them coming off the field, did you know there's only one person, one family, one young couple that says, I will go in their place. What's going on? There's something wrong, folks. Have we forgotten God cares about the strangers? You see, we've gotten involved in our comfort zone, in our pleasure seeking, in our future, in our pleasantries, in our decorations, in our children, and we've forgotten God loves the strangers. What's happening? 60% of our youth under the age of 22 in America have never heard a clear presentation of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. What's wrong, America? What am I saying? Can I say our youth are still looking for answers? They'll start searching. They're still questioning. They're still growing. But they can't find somebody to give answers. So they go to the world. Our average church in America today, as of 2018, do you know the average age is 70 years old for membership? And I travel church after church after church, and I see it to be so. I had a pastor come by and said, Pastor, Brother Brian, I'm burying more people in my churches than more church people are coming in. That's the plot. That is the situation in America, folks. Why? Because we have forgotten God's great mission. God still has a mission, folks. He wants to reveal His grace to all peoples. If the current rate of immigration goes as it is today, I know some of you have a problem with immigration, okay? Don't get me started on that one. In 35 to 40 years, the American white will be in the minority.
Oh, wonderful news, right, preacher?
Can I say something? Do you know why? Do you remember when God told Jerusalem church to go ye into all the world? Do you remember that? He said, wait in Jerusalem until you receive what? Power, right? And so what did they do? They got power. They got souls saved. 3,000 people one day. 5,000 people another day. And within a short amount of time, 20,000 people in Jerusalem. You know what they forgot? The stranger. They said, we're comfortable here. We like it here. I got called to preach. But preacher, I can't go. You know what I had a family tell me? Send my kids. It's too dangerous out there. Why? Because we've forgotten the stranger that God cares for. So what did God do to the Jerusalem church? He sent persecution. Do you remember that? Stephen was stoned. You know what happened? They spread. What are we waiting for, Mount Zion Baptist Church? Are we waiting for persecution to spread the gospel? Are we going to say, yes, we're going to wait until they close our door before we send another missionary? Before we plant another church? Oh, folks, we've got to realize the call is still the same. The need is greater. The work is His, not mine. Why? Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, He will send forth. Money? Ministries? No. Laborers. Today we've got our young people so hooked on Facebook, Twitter, every other stupid outfit out there that they have no time to get their faces off their phones to see souls. Has Satan accomplished his feat? Yes, he has. Why? We've forgotten the stranger. Jesus Christ had compassion. He said, lift up your eyes. You know when he said that? He didn't say that to look at the Jews. He said that when he saw the Samaritans, the strangers. Lift up your eyes. They're white under harvest. This year's harvest was late coming in. As I traveled from Minnesota across into Iowa a little bit, and Wisconsin, Indiana, the harvest was late because of the rains. One of the men stood up in the church and he said, we need to pray that we can get the harvest in before it's lost. Wow. Before it's lost. There's a fervency, isn't there? For the farmers. But where's the fervency in our churches? They're lost. You see, God cares about the stranger. He cares about the heathen. He cares about the one that's searching. God will move heaven and earth. The problem is, we won't move off of our seat. All-night prayer meetings? How many attended one this year? 5 o'clock prayer meetings? Anybody attended? Then don't tell me you want to see God work. You see, folks, God says, I want to reach the people with my grace. I will reveal my glory to the heathen. That's the purpose of God. David says that prayer, and you go look down in verse 50. Therefore I will give thanks unto thee, O God, among the heathen. Among the heathen. I know Thanksgiving is past. And I know Thanksgiving is a time when we get drawing up lists to thank God for, right? We praise God for families. We praise God for things. We praise God for this and that. But our prayer lists, I've noticed, have all the time talking about things. But can I challenge you today? Our prayer should be about people. For people, souls of men, You see, Satan is fighting for the souls of your young people. Are we fighting for their souls? What shall a man give in exchange for his soul, right? It's not this life. It's the soul of man. There's an eternal destination. Will you say, Lord, I want to give my life for the stranger. I want to give my prayers for the strangers. I want to pray and be able to give thanks among the heathen. If you look in the New Testament, the Bible says, ye were strangers. Were we not strangers? We're not a part of the covenant of God with Israel. We're not of the Abrahamic covenant. We're the stranger, amen? Only the mercy of God. Only the grace of God. Only the love of God brought me in. Yes, I have the peace of God today because somebody prayed for me. Somebody preached a message Wednesday on September, and I heard the gospel. Jesus Christ loved you. I'd never heard that in my life. I went downstairs and I sat at a desk and I said, Lord, forgive me a sinner. Why? Somebody was praying for me. And as a 9-year-old kid, I'll never forget how God saved me, the stranger. How about you? Can you testify that day? Amen. So good God is. So faithful He is. So merciful. Yes, this time is a time to remember the giving, the goodness of God. But I have to remember to ask the question, have we remembered God still has a purpose to reach the strangers, to the heathen? Abraham was used of God to establish a testimony, a covenant, that all the world might be blessed. Solomon prayed the prayer as a dedication of that temple, that the stranger would be heard. David writes a song of thanksgiving. He says, I will praise in the midst of the heathen. God's doing great work. I have a question. Is God doing a great work here tonight? In this place? In Broke? In all these little villages around? Towns around, cities here. Is God doing the work? He will not do the work until we fall in love with Him. That's right. Have you fallen in love with the Savior today? Is He the reason that you're living? You see, until you fall in love with Jesus, nothing else matters. Nothing matters. My pastor, I remember when I first went to Bible college, and he preached a series on the Song of Solomon. He was teaching in the Bible college. He preached in chapels. Why? You know what the theme was? Establishing relationships. That's what the theme is. And I remember that series he preached. And I came back and sat under his preaching here a couple Sundays ago. We were off Sunday morning. And he brought that point up. And I said, oh, yes, I remember. I remember. And since that time, I remember, Lord, my relationship with you must be first. I got a question. Is that first in your life tonight? Is that the first thing? Establishing that relationship. Why? With that relationship, we begin to communicate with God for others. When I fall in love with God, fall in love with the Lord Jesus Christ, I begin to love others as He loves me. If your relation's not right tonight, you will never love others. How's your walk? How's your devotion? How's your communion? Every one of these men I named tonight, you know what they focused on? Their personal walk with God. David, Solomon, Abraham. Amazing testimony of a walk with God. And God used each one of them to reach the heathen. To reach the stranger, those who never heard.
Thank you for joining us by way of the internet today. We're so glad that you were able to be with us, and we pray that the service was a blessing to your heart. Even though the sermon is over, our service is not over. At the end of our service, we give an opportunity for people to respond and come to an altar and pray over what God dealt with them about. Sometimes people come to call upon Christ and to be saved. Others come to make a decision for Christ regarding their Christian lives. Others come to call out to the Lord about special needs and situations in their lives. Maybe God has dealt with you today about some specific area of your life. I invite you to make an altar right there in your home, a quiet time before the Lord where you pray to Him and respond to Him about what He has spoken to you about. If you made a decision for the Lord today, we would be glad to hear about that decision and or answer any questions you have today about the message that was preached. You can contact us by way of email at info@mountziononline.org or by way of phone at 717-927-9227. Again, we thank you for joining us today, and we look forward to you joining us again for our live stream weekly on Sundays at 10:45 a.m. and on Sunday evenings at 6:45 p.m. If we can meet a need in your life, please do not hesitate to contact us. Thank you, and God bless you. Oh,